Now, to go a little further, the Indians are and were a very cultured people. Sometimes I think that on the whole, Indians tend to be rather more cultured than the average European or the average Westerner. Even people who live in villages, who lead materially a very simple life, are very, very cultured in many ways. The Tibetans, on the other hand, were, and to some extent still are, a bit rough, a bit uncultured, a bit hirsute, if you like. As compared with the Indians, I'm only comparing them with the Indians, mind you, the Indian, therefore, is more cultured, we may say, more urbane, more polished, more sensitive, more refined, if you like. But the Tibetan tends to be a bit rough and uncultured, except, of course, the few, the minority, who come from Lhasa and who are very, very sophisticated indeed. Now, historically speaking, Buddhism is an Indian product. True, the Buddha, when he gained enlightenment, soared above all distinctions of race and nationality. What he reached, what he realized, was something purely spiritual, something transcendental. But Buddhism, as it has come down to us, is in many ways very markedly Indian. It reflects Indian modes of thought. It reflects Indian cultural attitudes, even Indian assumptions, and so on. For instance, this is an example I very often give. You read some of the scriptures, some of the Buddhist texts. Look, for instance, at some of the great Mahayana sutras, and there you'll encounter the characteristically Indian tendency to exaggeration, especially numerical exaggeration. They start telling a story about an old woman who had so many children, just to illustrate a point. And they say, well, she had a dozen children. And then they go on to say they're not satisfied with a dozen. They say, well, she had 20 children, or even 30 children, or even 50. And it goes right up to 100. They're not content to leave it at a dozen. And this is typically Indian, this exaggeration, this piling, as we would say, of pelion upon ossa. This exaggeration all the time.